بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. This is the second part on the subject of rulings or ruling on funerals. This is the rulings regarding the entering upon the ill or the sick person. First of all, what is the definition of illness? What is the definition of illness? The illness definition is the change of the body's condition from its normal state of health, which is the medium state. And the scholars defined or categorized illness into three types. The first is known as al-marad al-makhuf. Marad meaning illness. So the first kind is al-marad al-makhuf. What is this? This is the illness that is likely to cause death. Likely to cause death. Such that it wouldn't be a surprise if one comes to know that the ill person in this state died. Is that clear? This is the first type. The second type is the slight illness unlikely to cause death. Slight illness unlikely to cause death. The third type is the second kind, but permanent. You understand? The third type is the second type, but permanent. Clear? So, an illness that is unlikely to cause death, but it is what? Permanent. An example on the first type, which is al-marad al-makhuf, the illness that is likely to cause death. Heart ailment. Strokes. Cancer. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's well-being from all of that. An example on the second type is the slight illness, unlikely to cause death. This is as such that if someone dies of it, it would be considered as sudden death. It wouldn't be said because of the illness. Like, for example, toothache. Do you understand? Is that clear? And if he dies of it, it wouldn't be said that he died of it. It would be like sudden death. Clear? Okay. An example on the third type. Kidney malfunction. Kidney disease. Diabetes. Now, we have to add something to this matter of the third type. If this third type renders the sick person bedridden, then his status will be of the first type. Is that clear? If it would make him stick to bed, then it will be now of the first type. Under this classification, each has its own rulings. Rulings in terms of what? Rulings in terms of managing one's wealth. So in the first case, nothing of his management or disposition would be legally executable except that what amounts to one third of it to non-heirs, non-inheritors. Because what exceeds the one third is from the rights of the heirs. None of his management of disposition is legally executable or suitable except that which amounts to one third only. Because more than the one third, he cannot donate. Because that would be the rights of whom?
The right of the heirs.
In the second type, he can dispose as he wishes. If he falls under the second category, he can dispose and manages as he wishes. As to the third type,
if it renders him bedridden,
then its ruling will be like the first type. None of his gifts or bequests would be executable in that which would exceed the one third. So if he becomes bedridden, then the rulings are the same as the first type of illness. Yes, he would be from the second type. Now concerning if bedridden, then the first type. Now, entering upon the sick person and the rulings. Now we know what's the illness and the classification of the illnesses in terms of the rulings. In the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as collected in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and the translation of the meaning you find it in book 26 and hadith number 537, حق المسلم على المسلم ست. The six are the rights of the Muslim over another Muslim. And he mentioned from the six, وَإِذَا مَرِضَ فَعُدْهُ. And when he falls ill, then visit him. When he falls ill, then visit him. So what is the ruling concerning the entering upon the sick person? The evidences indicate that this is a collective duty. A collective duty. Which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded the believers to do. And it may turn to be an individual duty from those individuals who are entitled to be dealt with righteously, like the relatives, mother, father, grandfather, son, daughter, etc. Is that clear? Now, what are the etiquettes? The first thing, the person intends to comply with the command of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in entering upon the sick person in order to achieve and gain the reward. That is because he sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded this, and it is affirmed that he used to do it. So therefore, this is the first thing that the person should do, is to have the intention to follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in that. The second thing is to intend doing good to his brother. Why? Because he will be pleased in that. And he would see that you have done a right that belongs to him. قال الله تعالى, Allah the Most High says in chapter 2, Surah Al-Baqarah, 195, وَأَحْسِنُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ وَأَحْسِنُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And do good, truly Allah loves the good doers. Thirdly, when he enters upon him, he asks him about his condition. How are you? What's causing you discomfort? And he should ask him about the deeds that are important. Mostly and most importantly, the deeds that are related to the worship, from the purity and salah, prayers, especially if the visitor, quote unquote, is a scholar or a student of knowledge, because the sick person will benefit from him. Because the sick person will benefit from him. We find some sick people abandon the worship, taking as an excuse that they cannot perform the purification. They should be reminded that the salah is to be performed under any situation, even if they cannot perform the ablution and there is no one to assist them on it, or they could not find to do the dry ablution, or if it will cause them harm. So under all circumstances, the prayers is still required. It is not lifted as long as the person have sound intellect. Also, you find among the sick people, you find that they performed tayammum, dry ablution, yet they are able to reach the water or use it without harm. And this is wrong. Also, you find some of them combine and shorten the prayers, even if they are in their hometowns. You find them combining and shortening. This is not valid if he is not a traveler. With respect to the combination of the prayers, it is valid for the sick person, but it is invalid, not permissible for him to shorten the prayers if he is in his residence, because the shortening is from the matters related to the traveler. The traveler can do both. As to the combination, it is permissible if he finds difficulty or hardship. But if he shortens while in residence, then his salah is invalid. Is this clear? Now, the fourth matter in the etiquettes and manners is to speak to him that which will give him comfort and introduce peace and happiness upon him. Like, for example, when the person enters, he may say to him, Alhamdulillah, all praise is due to Allah, your condition today is better. Even though physically it's the worse. Why? Because the more the illness intensifies, the more the reward is, and therefore his condition would be better. Is that clear? The fifth matter is to remind him concerning repentance, especially if he knows that he is from those who were negligent and indulged in sins, those who were unjust to themselves. The sixth matter, he should remind him of the legal will, the bequest, that is because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith in Sahih Muslim, book 13, 3987, in the hadith of Ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, he said that the Prophet ﷺ said, it is the duty of a Muslim who has something which is to be given as a bequest, not to have it for 2 nights without having his will written down regarding it. Especially if the sick person is known to be a trader, sells and buys things, because he will be involved in selling and buying and making contracts and so forth. Seventh is to remind him to return people's rights to them if these rights were of the wealth type or speech regarding them, talk about them. Seek their forgiveness, and if there is any wealth, then he returns it, or a property. The eighth is to admonish him in the good way to do that which is good. He reminds him of Allah Azza wa Jal, reminds him about the Quran and recitation, reminds him to make tahleel, remembrance of Allah, tahleel, saying La ilaha illallah, tasbih, saying Subhanallah, declaring Allah free of all imperfection, takbir, declaring that Allah is greater, Ninth, he should invoke Allah for him. And we know from the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, when he entered upon Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas in his illness, Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu said, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam entered upon me and said, Allahumma shfi Sa'dan, O Allah, cure Sa'd. Allahumma shfi Sa'dan, O Allah, cure Sa'd. Allahumma shfi Sa'dan, O Allah, cure Sa'd. And from the invocations is that which is affirmed is the hadith or the dua, لا بأس طهور إن شاء الله. Never mind, may it, meaning the sickness, be a purification if Allah wills. As supported by Al-Bukhari. لا بأس طهور إن شاء الله. When the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم would enter upon a sick person, he would say, never mind, may it, the sickness, be a purification if Allah wills. And in the other narration, أسأل الله العظيم رب العرش العظيم أن يشفيك. Any Muslim who visits a sick person whose prescribed moment of death has not arrived and supplicates seven times, saying, أسأل الله العظيم, I ask Allah the Most Great, رب العرش العظيم, Lord of the Magnificent Throne, to cure you, saying it seven times. And if he finds in the sick person eagerness to be given ruqya, recitation of the Quran upon him, or recitations from specific verses in the Quran, or certain invocations from the Sunnah, then he may do so in order to comfort him and fulfill his eagerness for that. The 12th or 11th matter is that he shouldn't stay long in his visit, lest it could cause the sick person discomfort. How long he may stay, the correct opinion is, it depends with people and their conditions. If you know, or most likely it appears to you that he is pleased in your presence, then stay. And if you see any kind of discomfort, then hasten to leave. These are some of the etiquettes regarding this matter. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it a benefit for myself and for everyone who listens to it. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.